Praise God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to Brother David this morning. After tonight, Lord. Father, he got me confused.
I got you confused. I said anything.
Father, we just praise you and thank you for Brother David, Lord. Bless him mightily tonight. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
And also this morning, I didn't mean for it to happen. If it did happen, if anybody this morning actually wanted prayer and they got slipped over at the altar call, right now, if you need prayer for your body, you're welcome to come on up now. We'll pray for you. Anybody needs prayer? And if you don't need prayer for your body, pray for those that are being prayed for. Okay, Cindy. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we bring Cindy to you, Lord. Father, the doctors have done what they're going to do, Lord, and it's still not all right, Father. And we ask you right now, Lord, to just step in there and make it all right. Lord, she's following you. Lord, she's believing you for help. Lord, her mama's believing. And Father, we're believing right now in the name of Jesus for a very powerful touch in her back. Let her feel it. Let her feel the anointing touch her right now, Lord. Let her be able to call her mom tonight and say, wow, it's amazing what I felt tonight, Lord. Touch her, Lord, to glorify your son. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Okay. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you love Allison. Lord, you've got her best interest at heart and those children's interests at heart. I ask you right now, Father, to minister to them, Father. Father, make a difference, Lord, that only you can, Lord. I ask you right now, Father, to minister. Father, put your hands of protection around them, Lord. Bless them in a very powerful, powerful way. And, Lord, let your wisdom and your understanding be seen and known. And, Father, minister, Father. Minister, Lord. You said suffer little children to come unto you, Lord. Father, we're bringing them to you right now, Father, for you to take care of business in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. 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 Yes. I'm not going to keep you a whole long time up here. I just wanted to kind of set some things in order for the baptism. And matter of fact, if all the people that are going to be baptized, it'd really be cool if y'all would come, if you don't mind. Okay, everybody's going to get, I can't drive this thing too good. Don't come sit on that. That sounded bad. Come sit up here. If you don't mind. Come on. Everybody going to be baptized. Come sit up here. Okay, is anybody else? Y'all going to be baptized? Anybody's going to be baptized? Just know that I've only lost one, and I didn't know they had asthma. It's okay. I'm playing. No, they hadn't lost anybody, so that's good. Okay. Now, I want to talk about baptism for just a moment. It won't take more than an hour. I mean, 10 minutes, all right? I want to read a couple of scriptures. I want you to turn there with me. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Acts 2:38, the famous scripture where they said the old lady was being attacked by robbers in there. And she hollered, she didn't know what else to think, holler, so she hollered, Acts 2:38, and the robber gave up. They called the police and said, why, man, did you give up to that old lady? You could have took her easy. She said she had an axe and 2:38s. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then turn to Matthew Matthew 28. I really had a fun time one day in Bible class. I almost got kicked out of Bible class one day because the teacher was trying to teach us something from Matthew. And he said, y'all turn to Matthew, whatever. And I said, is that Old or New Testament? Yeah, he got upset with me that day. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's the Trinity. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even until the end of the world. Amen. Now, water baptism. What's the deal with water baptism? Because, you know, you've got some folks calling it a sacrament. Some people are calling it an ordinance. You know, some religions and some places call it a sacrament. And some people, their sacrament means one thing. And another, like in the Catholic Church, sacrament means one thing. In the Emmaus movement, sacrament means another thing. And so what in the world are you talking about sacraments and ordinances? Well, let me just show you this first. What is it about baptism? Know this. If you're taking notes, write this down too. After receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it is a very important initial or very important first step in the Christian life. The first step. As you see in Matthew 3 and 13, it says, then come Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and y'all come to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it now to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, or to perform completely what is right. And then he suffered John to, or let John baptize him. And when Jesus was baptized, went straight up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Again, there's the Trinity. Jesus, the Son, when he's baptized, there's the Holy Spirit comes down upon him, and the Father speaks out of heaven. So there's the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost again. You see all the Trinity there. So Jesus knew the importance of following righteousness or following what we would call an ordinance. And the difference is, a sacrament actually, people believe, provides, some religions believe sacraments provide salvation. A sacrament does not provide salvation. Jesus' death on the cross provides salvation. It's the cross plus nothing. Can y'all say that? The cross plus nothing. You don't have to add to, you don't have to take away. It's the cross plus nothing. So an ordinance is actually a visual aid to help us better understand and appreciate what Christ accomplished with his redemptive work. So an ordinance is actually, think about order. When you go to work and you get into, so if you get orders in the morning, or you get an assignment in the morning and you're to fulfill these because you're part of a company, you're part of them. So an ordinance is different. An ordinance actually, it's a visual aid. Again, it's a visual aid. There's three of them in the New Testament. Here's the ordinance. The ordinance is determined by three factors. Number one, they were instituted by Christ. They were taught by the apostles. And they were practiced by the early church. And so that would be baptism, communion, and foot washing. Baptism, communion, and foot washing. They are ordinances of Jesus Christ. He told us to do this. Do it in remembrance of him. Do it because of him. All right? So now, how many know, and the Lord's convicted me of it, like I said, and I've been trying to hit it for the last couple of weeks. Please don't be upset with me, but I've been trying to hit it, you know, and please be upset that I haven't been talking about it. Okay? If you're going to be upset about the sermons last couple of weeks, be upset that I haven't been talking about it before like I have now. Okay? Because I've been holding back, and I ask God, if you'll forgive me, I won't hold back again. Okay? That's right. Let it go. That's right. So now, in our modernized society, listen carefully, we have a comfort zone Christianity. Amen? Comfort zone. If it feels good, we'll do it. If it don't feel good, then we need to take that out of there. Amen? You know, it's like I told you about this before. I couldn't get D.C. when he was a little boy. I couldn't even get him to eat his cereal. So somebody said, trick him. Cut up some bananas and put them in there and just leave them alone. He won't even pay attention. He'll eat it all. So I put the bananas in there. I walked out and come back, and I saw the bowl, and I thought I was so impressed because the bowl looked like something had happened to it. I looked in there, and the cereal was still there. The bananas were gone. You know, and so if we're not careful, we got this comfort zone Christianity, and we tend to take God's commandments too lightly. Chuck Carlson, who actually went to prison because of Watergate, he wound up being a very powerful prison minister. So even God can use you when you mess up. Somebody like, isn't it cool? God can use you when you mess up. But he said most Westerners take baptism for granted because many places in the world today, somebody say today, this act of baptism requires immense courage because in some countries, when they see you baptized, it means imprisonment. You saw the guys from America that were in the Korean prison. You know what they were in there for? Christianity. You look over in Iran. What are they in prison for? Christianity. Practicing Christianity. You know, I like the little sign that says, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You know, so here it is. In the Soviet Union, in China, and in the Eastern Bloc, believers, when they many times get baptized, it's like signing their death warrant. The early church, when they were baptized, literally parents would take their birth certificates and tear them up. They no longer belonged to the family. Guys were losing their jobs. I'm not trying to deter you tonight to get baptized. Yes, they're encouragement 101. They lost their houses. They lost their families because they didn't want the Jews did not want their kids associated with Jesus Christ. And so it was heavy. To get baptized meant something. Now let me ask you a question. You see this? I would take it off if I could and show you, but I can't, so y'all just have to see it right there. Look, and I don't want to take it off anyway, so that's cool. Because I'm very happy with the person I'm wearing this for. Okay. The person I'm in covenant. See, that means a covenant. Alright? When you see somebody with a wedding ring on their hand, what does that mean? They're married. I saw somebody one time with the wedding ring on the other hand. I said, that wedding ring's on the wrong hand. She said, I married the wrong man. If you see a military uniform, it's an outward sign that that person's involved in a particular branch of the service. You're not going to see a man wearing an airman uniform on the deck of a ship and say he's in the Navy. He may be on the deck of that ship, but he's there as an Air Force airman. He's not there as a sailor. You see a sailor, you know he's a sailor because that uniform means something. And water baptism is designed by God to identify a person as a disciple of Christ. Now let me tell you something, it's a symbol, but let's don't take that word symbol lightly. Matter of fact, let's don't take that symbol lightly, the word symbol lightly at all. Remember, it does not save you. It's the cross plus nothing. The thief on the cross, they didn't say, well, Jesus said, okay, if you can find a way to get off this cross and go and get baptized, I'll see you then in paradise. Okay? So again, salvation is not based on the baptism, but here's what happens. Watch this now. Here's the depth and the beauty of water baptism. When we are saved, the Bible says in Galatians 3:27, listen to this. The Bible says in Galatians 3 and verse 27, it says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Now watch this. When we're saved, we are spiritually baptized into the body of Christ. Amen? You are spiritually baptized into the body of Christ. Baptism in water is an outward representation of an inward work. All right? So when you're baptized, it shows on the outside what happened on the inside. So in biblical symbolism, water represents inner cleansing. And so here it is, this and spiritual rebirth. So here it is, this is the central theme of baptism, cleansing and rebirth. All right? So water baptism in essence, get ready. Water baptism in the essence is a cheerful funeral. You go down, you die in Christ. It's a symbolism. You've died in Christ and you come up a new man. Unless I drop you, you come up. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be serious here, y'all. Y'all ain't helping any. Okay. So in an act of faith which we testify both to God and to the world that the person that we were before Christ is dead and buried, and we are raised up in a new body, in a new person in Christ. We're baptized into the body of Christ. Okay? So here we go. So this is beautifully illustrated by these scriptures right here. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we should walk in newness of life. Colossians 2:12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. So being baptized is a command from God. And let me just say this now. If it's a command from God, it's not an option. Okay? So even though it's not a sacrament, it's not an option. Now, God always understands this stuff too. There's been guys on the battlefield that got killed on the battlefield, and they actually prayed through and they died on the battlefield, and they didn't have time to be baptized. And so I understand that. And me, I've gone to people that were so sick, they could not be immersed. They couldn't even be removed from the bed. And so I literally had to take and do whatever I could do to make sure that they received some type of baptism before they died, because they wanted to be baptized. They said, I want to be baptized before I die. And I had a guy down at Coral Point that was so sick, and he had a brain tumor, he couldn't even move off his bed. And when I went to go baptize him, his mind was gone, and he thought he was working on a truck, and he was doing this. And I walked up to him, and the day before he had his right mind, and he asked me, could I baptize him? And so I said, all right, I'll be back tomorrow. We'll take care of this. And so when I started talking to him, I said, hey, buddy, how you doing? He said, I'm doing good. I'm working on this truck. And I said, this is the preacher. He said, oh, yeah, preacher. I said, can you ask me to baptize you? Can we do that? He said, sure. And he put his hands down and said, let's go for it. And so I said, you realize what baptism is? He said, yes. And we talked about it. God gave him his right mind. He was talking, but he couldn't get up off that bed. And so what I did was I put a towel behind his head. And I said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. And he was so brittle that I had to be careful whatever I did to him. And so I took and I don't do this normally, but I did it for him. And I took the towel and I just squeezed the water down here. And I said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. And then somebody patted his face for him because he was so sick. And as far as I'm concerned, in God's eyes, I believe with all my heart, he was just as baptized as somebody's been right here. Okay. So now, again, let's think about this for a moment now. The very last thing that Jesus said, we just read it in Matthew 28, the very last thing he said before he was taken up to the Father, he said that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Again, baptized. He says, I want you to baptize me in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38, when people's response to Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, he said, I want you to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Again, it was an outward sign of an inner grace, and in that day and time, it really meant something. It meant a lot. Because people were literally, they had to give up. They had to give up to show up. Okay? It was something. And when Philip was with the Ethiopian eunuch, as they said, when they finished their discussion, he says, what's hindering me from being baptized? And Philip replies, if you believe in all your heart, you may be. And they found a body of water. And Philip baptized the eunuch, and promptly Philip was taken away. Acts 22:16, the first thing the Apostle Paul was told to do after his conversion was to be baptized. Baptism is a command from God. Okay? Again, it's an outward show of an inward grace. And remember this, faith without works is dead. So again, this doesn't save you, but this is following a command of Jesus. He wants the world to see it, wants everybody else to see it, and wants you to have that boldness to have this done. Water baptism is to be our first act of obedience. And I found out, here, this is a study. Christians who do not follow Jesus in water baptism have a much higher rate of backsliding or backing out than those who do. Okay? Now, water baptism is a very powerful reminder of God's wonderful grace and reminder that the person that we were before Jesus is dead. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become. So baptism is simple, but it's a profound act of obedience, and you will carry it with you for the rest of your life. And I would say anybody that has not taken this step, please consider it. Again, it is in obedience to the Lord, His command. Now, we're going to go, everybody's going to go, I'm going to take y'all guys back there. Did we tell you about the beating before you get baptized? Okay. Me and Steve and the guys, Linda, can you help her? Okay. So my wife's going to help her back here. Guys, you're going to be here. I'm going to get my big old, my robe was made by Omar the tent maker. I'm going to go get my robe. I'm going to go to my office because all my other clothes are in there. And so somebody can get up here. I want to volunteer to get here and say I'll lead the church and just singing some simple songs, just some Amazing Grace or whatever. And when we go to baptize, here's what we're going to do. He set me free, whatever. When the guys and the girls up here to be baptized, we're going to be singing Amazing Grace between each one of them. And when the person comes up to testify to be baptized, when they go down, when they come up, I want y'all to say amen, and I want you to clap your hands. Okay? That's right. Amen, clap your hands, praise the Lord, and then start singing again. You know, Amazing Grace, He set me free. Whoever wants to lead can figure that one out. And we're going to do it with everybody that goes under. And this is an awesome night. It's so, so awesome. I had a private baptism from somebody yesterday that doesn't go to this place. But they were seeking to be baptized, and so we had a private one here yesterday morning, and it was so awesome. And now we're going to have a public one here today, and we're going to have a good time. So somebody come up here. Don't everybody jump at one time, but somebody come up here and lead in, you know, either lead in singing, or somebody can do sock puppets, or you know, hands. But we're gonna go get dressed. All right. So somebody get up here and lead. Somebody get up here and lead some singing. Now she's going to help her. If y'all want to, y'all can get dressed one at a time so you have privacy. One at a time. We're going to find you one to fit you and put that robe over you. And then let us know when you knock on the. Thank you.
Thank you.